يا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, today is a PD day for many of my young friends, and plus the weather is a bit wet, so if I'll ask all the brothers and sisters to please move forward and fill in all the gaps so that we can maximize the space, inshallah. So try to move forward, squeeze in a little bit, especially at the back, so we have space for those to come in. Sorry? The windows, yeah, actually the AC, we have got AC, central AC working now, so I'm not sure, it should be on, so we should be maybe closing the window so that it gets cold, inshallah. So every day this week, my brothers and sisters, people are saying goodbye to their loved ones and are heading over to the most sacred place on earth. The most sacred place on earth. Why? To gather for the most important gathering of their life at the most special time of the year. And mashallah, many of the members of our community are also departing for Hajj or have already departed. And we all know that Hajj is one of the pillars of Islam, obligatory on all of those who are able to make the journey, who have the health and the means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. The pilgrimage to the house has been described to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, it's called Baytullah, not because, you know, al-iyadu billah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lives there, but it is because of the association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It is the first house of worship for the one Allah. So, it is described, the Hajj has been described as a duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who have the means. And we know that when there is an obligation, it should be discharged right away, right? So salah is obligatory at, is mandatory at specified times, you know, as is fasting in Ramadan. So similarly, the time for Hajj obligation, meaning when the Hajj becomes obligatory for a person, is the year when they have the health and the wealth to pay for the trip. When they have the health and the wealth to pay for the trip, they're able to make the journey safely. That is when the Hajj becomes obligatory. Now, there is no question that, you know, it can be trying and difficult at times. You know, by the way, if you're planning to go for Hajj, you know, yes, there's benefit in talking to people, but one of the things you might notice is that every time you ask someone about Hajj, everyone's going to have a story. Every person's going to have a story about, oh, I was in this place, and then that happened, and then I lost my luggage, and then the bus broke down, and then the hotel room wasn't ready, and then this and that and that. Most people will have some sort of story. Huh? So there is always, you know, some difficulty, some challenge that is probably going to come, although, you know, it is so much more easier physically today than it was in the past, right? Albeit much more expensive, right? And if you talk to, you know, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, those, you know, who had the opportunity to go for Hajj, they will tell very different stories. You know, their stories will be very different. It's not going to be like, oh, we lost our luggage and the plane was late and, you know, the bus broke down or the hotel room wasn't ready. You know, it's not going to be those stories. Right? It's going to be stories about ships. It's going to be stories about, you know, loading food and taking animals, you know, and bandits and, you know, and people falling ill and people dying, subhanAllah. You know, so a lot more easier today, alhamdulillah, albeit much more expensive. But the, of course, the benefit or the easy thing is, the good thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made it mandatory if you're not able to afford it. So if you're not able to afford it and it's getting more expensive, then it's not obligatory upon you, right? But, you know, if you are able to afford it and you do have the money, then of course you have a responsibility and you're able to go, then you have a responsibility to perform it. Now remember that the more difficult or trying an act is, then the more rewarding it is as well, that the more difficult and more trying an act, a good act is, then the more rewarding it is as well. Because the reward is linked with the amount of effort that goes into doing a good deed. You know, there's the amount of effort and pain and difficulty that goes into doing something positive, something that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the amount of patience that goes into it, and also the time and the act as it is seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can be difficult also to make arrangements, right? Getting time off, people who have children, trying to have someone watch over their children as an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, you know, that you need to make these arrangements. So you think that Allah will not appreciate the sacrifice and reward the efforts if they are done sincerely? Well, of course, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a very great reward. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned a number of rewards for Hajj. So first of all, spiritual purification. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man hajja lillah falam yarfuth walam yafsuq raja'a ka yawmi waladathu ummuh." That whoever performs Hajj for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not commit any obscenity and wrongdoing, then that person will come out as the day he was born or she was born, meaning pure and free from sins. Right? So it is the ultimate, one of the ultimate means of spiritual purification. So that's number one. By the way, that doesn't mean that we delay the Hajj as much as possible. You know, sometimes people may think this, that, oh, I'm still young right now, I have lots of things to do, I want to enjoy life, so I'm going to commit many sins. And then when I have a big mountain of sins, then I'm going to go perform Hajj, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to wipe everything clean, and then I'm going to be good, and then I'll die soon after that. This is not the thinking of a believer. Because first of all, what is the guarantee that you're going to get a chance to go to Hajj, you know, after all of this? And secondly, just the thinking, the mindset, this is not the mindset of a believer, that let me commit sins, or let me live my life, and then I'll go in the end, and it's worth it. You know, that's not the way that the believer should be thinking, right? So the right thing to do is to perform Hajj as soon as possible. And I often advise this, especially for young people, you know, students, young graduates, young couples, make it a priority, inshallah. Make it a priority that the first opportunity you get, especially if you're newly married and, you know, you have, of course, it can be a time when you're building your life, I understand that, but build your life with Hajj, with the obligation of Hajj first. Right, so try to perform the Hajj, save money, and try to perform the Hajj if you can, inshallah, as a young couple, or even before you get married, and that way the obligation is done with. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give you an opportunity to go again in the future, and may Allah make it easy and make it happen, but do not leave it for the end. Subhanallah, sometimes, you know, it breaks your heart when you see, you know, the people who come to perform Hajj, and no fault of their own, sometimes, you know, they spent entire lifetime saving money. Entire lifetimes, you know, especially in many other countries, because people come from around the world, there's people who spend their entire lives saving money, you know, pinching little, you know, bits here and there, saving because they don't have much, you know, they're not well off, but still, they save because they have this dream, they have this, you know, this great desire to perform Hajj, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it possible for them in old age. Right? Or some countries, they have like a lottery system, right? Not like a haram lottery, but just like a draw system where, you know, you put your name in and maybe you will be picked. And their turn comes when they're, you know, when they're elderly. You know, sometimes I remember, I probably told you before, I remember being in the mataf, right, in front of the Kaaba where people do tawaf. And there was one elderly man, subhanallah, his back, well, he was he was permanently in ruku'ah. Okay, when he's walking, his back was so hunched over that he is literally like as if he's walking in ruku'ah. And he's performing tawaf like that, right? Another time I remember there was a, you know, we're doing tawaf, it's crowded, and then there's like a, all of a sudden it opens up, and then there's like the space. I was like, okay, well, you know, people are going around something or someone. And you see that there's basically a person with no legs. Subhanallah, he has no legs, and he's still doing it himself. You know, he has two little stumps, and he's just, you know, going around the Kaaba and doing tawaf on his own. You know, so, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for everyone. But try to take, you know, the first opportunity to perform the Hajj. Do not delay it, because you don't know what's going to come your way. You don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. And don't have this mindset that I want to do it later because, you know, I want to accumulate sins and then go wipe it out all at once. So that's number one, for spiritual purification. Secondly, emancipation from the hellfire and entry into Jannah, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَن يُعْتِقَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبْدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. That there is no day on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees more people from the fire than the day of Arafah. And the Prophet ﷺ goes on and he says that he comes close and expresses his pride to the angels, saying, asking, you know, what do these people want? You know, they have gathered here. In another narration, he says, look at my slaves who have come unkempt and dusty. Because the people who come, you know, on the day of Hajj, the main Hajj is, I mean, there's a number of days, but the climax is, the key element of the Hajj is the day of Arafah. And everyone is in their ihram, they're wearing, you know, they're in that special state, the special clothing, you know, very minimal clothing, very simple clothing. And they're all gathered in the heat, especially in the Hajj is happening in the summer, these years. And subhanAllah, it's hot and it's dusty. And, you know, people are sweaty and they're not, you know, they're not in a great state, but they're there only and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses, you know, pride to the angels with regards to his servants who have chosen, because human beings have free will, so they have chosen to put themselves in this situation, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Hajj al-Mabroor laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah, that the reward for Hajj Mabroor, and we talked about the various interpretations of Hajj Mabroor, but let's say the one that is accepted is nothing but Jannah. We discussed this last night in the Hadith reading. So the reward for Hajj Mabroor is nothing but Jannah. Thirdly, my brothers and sisters, is acceptance of supplication and prayers, because the people who go for the Hajj are described as guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, called them and they responded. They ask of him and he will give them. So acceptance of dua as well. Fourthly, protection from poverty and sin. Number four, protection from poverty and sin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَابِعُوا بَيْنَ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ, keep on doing Hajj and Umrah. فَإِنَّ الْمُتَابَعَةَ بَيْنَهُمَا تَنْفِي الْفَقْرَ وَالْذُنُوبِ, because doing so eliminates poverty and sin. كَمَا يَنْفِي الْكِيرُ خَبَثَ الْحَدِيدِ, just as the bellows eliminate impurities from iron. Just as the bellows, like when iron is being purified and iron is being formed, just as the bellows eliminate impurities from iron, similarly, performing Hajj and Umrah also eliminates poverty and sin from a person, subhanAllah. So, you know, this is what is happening. This is, you know, the importance of what people are gathering for. And the name of this month, of course, is Dhul Hijjah, the month of Hajj. But this is all for those who are able to go. This is for all of the people who are able to go for Hajj, who are able to perform the Hajj, and mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen them for that this year. But for all of those, the majority of people who are not going for Hajj, because of course there's about 1 billion Muslims in the world, and you know, a couple of million, 3, 4, 5 million people max who will be performing the Hajj. So, you know, the majority of the Muslims do not go for Hajj every year. But there is also a great opportunity, because this season of Hajj is not only for the people who are performing Hajj. It is not only for those who are going for Hajj. It's not like, okay, they go for Hajj and the rest are just like, you know, just have fun and it's not our turn, so what could we do, and, you know, we just go on with life. No. So there's also a great opportunity for us who are not going, and that this opportunity is specifically in this 10 days, these 10 days of the month of Hajj, starting today, because today is the first of Dhul Hijjah, the first day of the month of Hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the importance, the value of these days, when he swears by them in Surah Al-Fajr, in the beginning of Surah Al-Fajr, according to the Mufassirun, according to some of the commentators of the Qur'an, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, by the dawn and by the 10 nights. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he, you know, whatever he swears by, that means that it's highlighting the importance of that thing that he is swearing an oath by. By the way, for the human beings, for us, it is not permissible to swear an oath by anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, when we swear an oath by Allah only. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing the same, then he can do it with other things as well. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he said that the 10 nights referred to here are the first 10 days and nights of Dhul Hijjah, and other commentators of the Qur'an also held the same opinion. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, and there's different narrations with similar wording. مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ الْعَمَلُ فِيهِنَّ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ, that there are no days greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which righteous deeds are more beloved to him than these 10 days. There are no days greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which righteous deeds are more beloved to him than these 10 days. And also, مَا مِنْ عَمَلٍ أَزْكَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْمَلْهُ فِي عَشْرِ الْأَضْحَى. That there is no deed more precious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor greater in reward than a good deed done during the 10 days of sacrifice. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he mentions that the most apparent reason, because people are like, okay, why? The question was, why are these 10 days so special? So he says, the most apparent reason for the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah being distinguished in excellence is due to the assembly of the greatest acts of worship in this period. So salawat, prayers, of course, which are going to happen, and also the Eid prayer, siyam, fasting, which is recommended in these days, except for the day of Eid, of course, and the days that follow, and sadaqah, charity, especially, you know, with regards to the sacrifice of the animals, the Hajj pilgrimage. In no other period do these great deeds combine. So all of these different virtuous acts which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they come together in this season of these special days. Now, what's different here, because remember, it's what? We're 70 days out of Eid al-Fitr, of Ramadan. Okay, we're 70 days since Ramadan ended. In Ramadan, there's a lot more specification of actions to do, right? Fasting is obligatory, it's not optional in Ramadan, yes? Okay, night prayers, they're sunnah, they're emphasized, right? So there is more direction when it comes to Ramadan, but when it comes to the first 10 days of the Hijjah for the people who are not performing Hajj, it's not forced upon us, right? There's not as much direction. So you can say that perhaps the test by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see how much of a desire we have to become a close friend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, constantly thinking about Allah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So think of it as a scheduled test, an opportunity, you know, 60 days after, so not 70 days of course, because 70 days would be Eid al-Adha, so 60 days after the month of Ramadan. So how do we do that? You know, how do we value these days? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Surah Al-Hajj, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. Mention the name of Allah on appointed days. There's أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ and there's أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, right? And Mufassirun, many of them say that أَيَّام مَعْدُودَاتٍ is referring to the days coming, the day of Eid al-Adha and the أَيَّام التَّشْرِيق, the days that follow Eid al-Adha. Whereas أَيَّام مَعْلُومَاتٍ are referring to the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has recommended abundant recitation of praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these days. Right? فَأَكْفِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. During this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, recite a great deal of tahleel, takbir and tahmeed, meaning Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd, or different forms of this form of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One narration also mentions tasbih as well, so subhanallah as well. So, what increased the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this time? You know, try to do it with the heart, feeling the greatness of Allah, thankfulness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, passion for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Bukhari relates that Ibn Umar and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhuma, during this time, the two of them, they used to go out to the marketplace during these days, saying the takbir, and they would say it, you know, a bit loudly, and it would remind others and would cause other people to engage in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Secondly, as I mentioned, fasting is also highly recommended until the 9th day of Dhul-Hijjah, likely a practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, but the evidence, the narrations are not, you know, so strong to say that it is a established sunnah. But nonetheless, it is highly recommended. You know, if you're able to, that's great. If you're not able to, because I know the days are long and it's hot, then it's not an obligation, you know, and it's not even categorized as sunnah, but it is highly recommended and something that we should try to do if we are able to do it. If not all 9 days, whichever days we can, and particularly the fasting of the 9th day, which is the day of Arafah, is especially emphasized, and we can talk more about that next week, inshallah. Apart from these, any other acts of worship, you know, repentance and virtue may be done on these days, and inshallah they will be rewarded greatly through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, we can't be there for the Hajj, but we can certainly join in the spirit of the Hajj. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the Hajj of those who have been called by Him this year. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring them back safely. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us his closeness in these days, and that we may be included among all of those who will be forgiven and accepted at this time this year. Allahumma ameen. Take a quick break, inshallah, and we'll continue.